I want you to imagine this. You've got a brother and he's out and about doing his daily work. He's working as a bread man in County Tyrone and he's shot dead. Now, a number of years later, the person who killed him has a very high profile because of other killings that he's carried out. And you actually have the courage at some point during your life, during a documentary, to go face to face with that killer. And your life goes on. And then out of the blue, you hear that the killer who is in prison has been released, albeit temporarily released, but you haven't been informed. How would that make you feel? I want to speak to Geraldine Hanna, who's the CEO of Victim Support Unit in Northern Ireland. Geraldine, good morning.
Good morning.
Geraldine, we're obviously talking about Michael Stone here, one of the most prolific killers that Northern Ireland has ever had. And people are waking up this morning to hear that he was allowed out on a temporary release to sell some art, to open an art exhibition and sell some of his own art. And the system didn't allow for the informing of a gentleman who had lost his brother, because the brother of that murdered man has said indeed that he should have been informed. And I would imagine other people would feel the same way. Michael Stone was convicted of murdering Roddy Hackett's brother Dermot in 1987. He was that bread man I was talking about. He also in cold blood killed other people going about their daily work, and he attacked Milltown Cemetery as well. Why would victims not be informed if a killer like that was being released to sell art at an art exhibition?
In Northern Ireland, Frank, there's actually three victim information schemes that exist, and one of which would apply in this situation, which is called the Prisoner Release Victim Information Scheme. Now, that scheme entitles victims or bereaved relatives for the opportunity to provide and receive information about prisoners whenever they're largely coming up to release or temporary release. Unfortunately, that scheme, however, is an opt-in scheme, so it requires victims or family members to have registered in order to receive information. So if the individual isn't registered, they won't be aware. Now, like with all opt-in schemes, it firstly relies on the individual to be aware of it to begin with, but secondly, it also requires the individual to be at the right time and place in their journey to kind of make an informed decision in relation to that. And quite often people may be told and either say no at the time or forget that they've been told. And what, you know, I would say to anybody listening today is that you can register for these schemes at any stage. So if anyone out there is impacted by this story this morning, they can get further information about how these schemes work on the Victim's Journey section of our website or on NI Direct or either by calling ourselves or the Victim Information Unit who runs these schemes.
So if Mr. Hackett had signed up to it, he would have been informed?
Yes, he would have. Now, these schemes, this one in particular, I think began around the year 2000s, in the early 2000s. It was brought in the Justice Act 2002. So there, previous to that, I'm not sure what, if any, scheme was in existence. So it may have been that those individuals were never informed. But there is, if anybody, you can sign up at any stage, so people can be informed now. And people who maybe have said no at a certain stage can still change their mind and come back and ask to be informed. Also, a family member or close friend can act as a representative. Ourselves at Victim Support can act as a representative and receive the information on behalf of the victim or bereaved family member in order to help facilitate that process if they desire.
Is it worse for victims if they hear secondhand and if they hear secondhand that this mass killer is out selling art? There's just something about the fact of him selling art. I'm trying to visualise myself in a position if I was the brother of one of the victims or it was a relative of mine who he had killed and he's out at an art exhibition and he's showing off his talents and his abilities and people are paying money to buy what he has painted. Does that not make it more difficult for the victims, for those families that he left in anguish?
Well, the whole period around an offender release, even if it's temporary release as they approach the end of their sentence, is a very difficult time for victims. It will bring back memories of the crime itself and also of the trial process. Obviously, preparation and support for at around that time is essential. So if someone is aware that that someone is being released, albeit temporarily, at least it reduces the chance of shock if they run into or someone informs them that the offender is out in the community.
And how do you cope with the victim then if they've gone through the trauma of seeing this person in an art exhibition or meeting him on the street or, you know, interacting with him in a shop? Can they turn to you? Can they come to you? Can they say, I just can't cope. I've looked in the eyes of this individual.
Yes, we will always be here if anyone does want to contact us in such circumstances. Really, what we will do is listen to the victim, try and understand and empathise where they're coming from. Sometimes it just helps for an individual to have that discussion with someone independent, because obviously in these sort of circumstances, the whole family is affected and people may not always want to disclose the extent of their feelings to their family members who are also hurting at this time. So it can help to speak to somebody independent from that. If we're the representatives in the case, we can also help victims to put forward their views to these schemes if they're registered, and in order for those views to be heard by the relevant scheme body who is overseeing the release of the offender.
Michael Stone, of course, is not the only killer out in society. We're peppered with people like that here, and sometimes we do forget. It's only on a morning like this morning when we're talking about him and the horrific actions that he took against people down through the years. We get a feeling for other victims who had their loved ones taken away by A, B or C, who happen to be out and doing whatever they do in society, many of them in high profile positions.
Yes, and of course that is really difficult, and it happens on a daily basis. Obviously, those high-profile offenders will maybe come to the media attention more often, but on a daily basis you have people who have lost loved ones or have suffered severe harm at the hands of an offender, and they have to deal with that impact when someone is released, when their sentence is served and is reintegrating back into the community. And that can cause obvious distress and harm. And organisations like ourselves are there to help as much as possible with that.
I'm just wondering which is the most difficult. Is it having a high profile person who you see in the papers, who you are aware of on television, who may be in a political party or in a position of power, and you know that that person was involved in the killing of your loved one? Is it easier to cope with that than to be walking down the street and see some guy come out of the bookies and say, gee, that's the bloke that killed my dad? Which one is the easier to actually interact with?
Yeah, I suppose it's going to be difficult to sort of put them in a priority. You know, different individuals will be affected differently. But the latter case, what you've described, if someone isn't aware that the person is out there, then that shock factor is there. Of course, it will cause obvious distress for individuals whenever someone has been released, and even if they do know about it. But that harm can be minimised if they are made aware. If you have that shock factor as well, that can catch you unawares, and that can cause further harm. So we would encourage as many people as possible who wish to do so to sign up for these schemes.
Okay.
To try and prevent that.
Charlene, very informative. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Geraldine Hannah, the CEO of the Victims Support NI.